And happy Father's Day, Dads. I've had the privilege of serving as a regional director for the Fellowship Baptists in Atlanta, Canada. There are 20 congregations in Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island. And we're praying about Newfoundland. Any Newfoundlanders here? Needy place. In your prayer times, please pray for Newfoundland. One of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Micah. In fact, we named our youngest Micah. And I'm going to look at a passage in Micah chapter 6 today. Micah is one of my favorite books for a few reasons. One, we read a great prophecy in the book of Micah about Bethlehem, the birthplace of, in that day, a coming Savior. My Savior. And in Micah chapter 6, we read these words. And dads, I pray that this is a challenge to us. Micah chapter 6, starting at verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sake or for the sin of my soul? Let's just pause right there for a second. These are impossible things. How do we repay the Lord? How do we give this? Thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil. Firstborn for my transgression. That is religion. That is us trying to find our way to God. This is us, the futility of us trying to make it on our own, trying to satisfy God on our own. And in verse 8 is where we want to spend some time today, because this is the answer. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Before we dig into that a little bit, let's talk to the author of this book and get his help today. Let's pray. Father, this is the living word of God. This is your message to us. Would you help us by your Spirit to understand and apply these words to our hearts? In Jesus' name, amen. What does it mean to do justly? Justice has the sense of having a proper perspective of what is right and wrong. Really, God's perspective of what is right and what is wrong. It's to provide fairness. It includes the idea of protecting the innocent and correcting injustice. In the various parts of our lives, in our work lives, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our homes, and in our private lives, doing justly, doing what is right. At work, providing fairness to employees and employers. Micah addresses a bit of business injustice just a few verses down in chapter 6. Verse 11, shall I acquit the man with wicked scales and with a bag of deceitful weights? Proverbs 16 says a just balance and just scales are the Lord's. And Proverbs 20 says unequal weights are an abomination to the Lord. They're all talking about being fair in our business practices, being fair in what we sell. If we're selling a bushel, making it a bushel. Being fair, being just in our business practices, being just with employees, with our workers, and workers being just with our employers, being fair with our boss, doing justly. Our basis for justice in our society is a little bit flawed because it's not as much anymore based on God's justice. It's not seen to be fair. And in most areas, as you read your papers and hear about stories from sports to politics to business, good ethics and fairness are trumped, are overshadowed by a desire to get ahead. And at the root, because we are selfish. Number one is most important. We want what is best for us. But our God is a just God. And even though we don't see him always act in the time frame that we would like him to act, the judge of all the earth will do right, do justly. In our neighborhoods, making sure we have time, we carve out time in our lives to help others, to love them. And in our homes, providing a place of safety and nurture and love. And in our private world, honoring God. Dads, do justly. Why? Because our God is a just God. One who cares for the orphan, one who cares for the widow, one who cares for the fatherless. Do justly. I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to walk through life and put blinders on and be oblivious to the needs and the burdens of others. Who better than followers of Jesus to be the first to step in when somebody needs an advocate? Who better than a follower of Jesus to be the first to step in when someone is needed to provide justice or to provide safety or to provide a way out of an abusive situation? Do justly. The maturing follower of Jesus is careful to be just in their business affairs and in their dealings with others. They're willing to have their lives complicated by the needs of others. Doing justly reflects the gospel. It reflects the heart of God who is just. Men, do justly. And then love mercy. Mercy is defined as not getting what we deserve. The Bible says that mercy triumphs over judgment. God's justice is satisfied when, and then his mercy is displayed. Justice by itself can be cold and unfeeling. But in God's dealing with us, we see multiple times where he judges and then in his mercy, he relents or he eases the penalty. The whole idea of mercy comes from love, from loving kindness. God in his mercy provides for us to be born again, to be forgiven. And so part of mercy, what mercy requires is that we're willing to forgive. Forgive someone who has sinned against you or has offended you or hurt you or has hurt someone that you love in some way. Just as God is willing to forgive us and forgive us our sin and our offense. Love mercy. In our society, mercy is not generally celebrated. We don't get too ruffled when the poor or the unfortunate people are overlooked. And when mercy is shown, it often has strings attached, usually for future consideration or from some kind of kickback. Loving mercy is to delight in showing mercy to someone who has offended you. Justice says that we allow for correction of a wrong, but mercy says we don't hold the wrong over their head for the rest of their life. And loving mercy is also about loving when you hear about mercy being shown to someone else. when you see it being displayed, remembering that we have been shown great mercy. A sign of a maturing follower of Jesus is their willingness to ask for and to grant forgiveness. It's a gift to forgive. It's a gift to the offender because you have released them from that guilt of offense. It's a gift to you because you have let it go. And it's a gift to those who hear about it because it reflects the gospel. It reflects the God, the heart of God who has shown us mercy. Love, mercy. And dads, walk humbly. Humility is that deep and authentic acknowledgement that we cannot do it on our own. We need help. It's a reminder that we should be remembering the perspectives of others and thinking of the perspectives of others. That others are more important than me. It is a heart attitude. Instead of being proud of what we can offer, we remember who we really are. God has a lot to say about humility. 1 Peter 5 says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I'm not that old yet, but I see it in myself. The more knowledge and experience we have, the older we get, the more we tend toward pride, toward self-righteousness, toward arrogance, toward being critical. We've done it before. We know the way. In our business world, humility is a concept that is getting some traction. Some of you may have read books like Good to Great by Jim Collins. And one of the characteristics of CEOs that were exceptional companies were humble men. But the goal in business is often self-serving. It's to be successful. It's to be better than the next guy. But it is refreshing to see business leaders who have a humble character, who are generally concerned about others and who listen more than they talk. But who better than followers of Jesus? Jesus, the one who showed the richest example of humility. Who better than followers of Jesus? To be the ones who are known for their humility, not that humility is something you brag about. Who better than followers of Jesus who show humility by listening to others more than they speak, and who put others ahead of themselves, who are not climbing the corporate ladder at the expense of others, who are not engaged in the trap of having more and better things than the guy next door. Walk humbly with your God. It's not just about walking humbly among each other. It is about God, who cannot be fooled. A maturing follower of Jesus understands the heart of his Savior, who in humble obedience carried out the mission that was assigned to him. We have been given a mission to go and make more and better disciples of Jesus. There are a lot of things that we can do on our own, even as it relates to doing church, but we cannot make followers of Jesus on our own. For that, we need the Holy Spirit. We depend on the Holy Spirit to help us. And that dependence keeps us walking humbly before our God. Do justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with God. Now let me be clear. This is not a message about doing better, being a better person. What this is a message about understanding the heartbeat of God and becoming more like him in doing justly and loving mercy and walking humbly before God. God the judge did right with my sin. He determined that because of my sin, I deserve nothing but death. And God, in his mercy, allowed his son, Jesus, to humble himself, even to death on the cross, to pay for my sin, because there is not enough goodness in me to cover my sin. So Jesus died in my place, the just one for the unjust one, so that I can experience forgiveness and have life abundant right now, and have life for eternity. Justice, mercy, and humility are all about love, and it's God's love. God so loved us. The gospel requires of us a people who are known to love each other. John 13 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That's what happens when we do justly, when we love mercy, when we walk humbly with God. There are lots of one another's in Scripture. And some of those one another's fall into these three categories. Colossians 3:9 says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices." And 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." That's doing justly. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." And Ephesians 4:1 says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." That is loving mercy. Romans 12:16 says, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight." And Galatians 5, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." That's walking humbly. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I kind of like lists, and the shorter the better. Well, here's a list. Not to be a better person, but to be a godly person. You want to be a godly man? Do justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with God. The maturing follower of Jesus is careful to be just in their business affairs and in their dealings with others. A maturing follower of Jesus is willing to have his life complicated by the needs of others. Doing justly reflects the gospel, because it reflects the heart of God, who is just. And love mercy. A sign of a maturing follower of Jesus is their willingness to ask for and to grant forgiveness. It is a gift to forgive. It reflects the heart of God, who showed us mercy, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. A maturing follower of Jesus understands the heart of his Savior. A humble obedience to carry out the mission that we've been given. He has shown you, O man, what is right. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Let's pray. Father, these are hard words. They are hard to measure. Father, would you help us as men who would be ones to love mercy, to do justly with each other, and to walk humbly with each other and in front of you. We know that is your heartbeat, and that's what you've put in us. Would you help us in these areas? That we would be seen to be godly men because we exhibit these character traits. These are being things of us. Father, by your Spirit, would you help us day by day, step by step, to hold each other accountable for these things, that we would lead many, many more to you in Jesus. It's his name we pray. Amen.